Now, I have one more small point to make before I address the region, because I'm not going to address the region country by country, but as a whole, I'd just like to make a small comment because I find it suitable to make such a comment on this issue. That, for example, those who criticize our stance towards Bahrain and consider that this stance is bad for Lebanon's relations with a brotherly, beloved country, which is called Bahrain. Of course, a beloved and brotherly country. Bahrain is just like any Arab country from our perspective. I accept that one criticizes our stance. He has the right to criticize our stance if he is committed to the policy of not intervening. But for those who intervene in the affairs of other Arab countries and their relation with Lebanon is more important and more dangerous than the relation of Bahrain with Lebanon, Syria, our economy, our roads, our waters, our skies, our people, our families. Between Lebanon and Syria, what is between Lebanon and Syria is well known. From the beginning of the events in Syria up until today, there are those who intervened, were part of the fight against Syria, against its government, against its army, and against the decision of a high percentage of its people. On the media, politically, they sent arms and paid money, and they are still doing so. So he who does this in Syria does not have the right to criticize our stance towards Bahrain, because what did we do in Bahrain? We took a political stance. We didn't send arms to Bahrain, nor did we intimidate or incite against violence in Bahrain, nor did we call for toppling the government in Bahrain. On the contrary, we always supported the calls for peaceful movement, and we always called for dialogue, and we always called for reforms in Bahrain. We always called for denouncing violence. We always called for not being enthusiastic and reacting hastily to the violence of the government. This is our stance, which the blind government of Bahrain must thank, and everyone who is keen and intent and cares for any Arab country must thank us for this stance, because when any side comes and makes a speech and says that your demands are legitimate, use peaceful means, don't resort to violence, focus on dialogue, agree to a settlement, this is a stance which must be appreciated. But because in Bahrain we have a government which is afraid and afraid from any word of righteousness and calculates every cry made against it, every voice against it, it begins to threaten. With what it threatens to it threatens to extradite the Lebanese in Bahrain. This is a weak way. These are weak means. If there are Lebanese here, I will extradite if any more words are said. This is something shameful. Anyway, although February is the annual anniversary for the peaceful revolution of the people of Bahrain, who on this day we also salute and we bow down to for their steadfastness and for their vigilance and for their wisdom. Hence, he who makes advice must first of all be committed to what he says. Then we can come and speak with one another about what we should be committed to and whether or not what we're doing is right or not. Now, regarding the region, the regional situation today, in addition to the Israeli threats, let's refer to the new developments. We have witnessed in new arenas, in new battlefields, we have witnessed the danger and the threat posed by the Takfiri movement. The main name in the Takfiri movement has become ISIL. Now, previously we said that this threat is not a threat to some governments, it's a threat to all governments. It's not a threat to some governments, to all regimes, to all entities, to all peoples, to all armies. This is not a threat to the religious minorities or the racial minorities. This is a threat to all And we said early on, this is a threat to Islam, Islam as a religion, Islam as a message. From that day up until today, all of the realities which have been witnessed stress that what we said is correct, is true. Today, the whole world has confessed, that yes, this Takfiri movement, whose main name is ISIL, is now posing a threat to the security of the region and the world. Is there anyone remaining in the world? Is there anyone who still disagrees? Only Israel doesn't consider it as a threat or danger. You saw just a few days ago, the Israeli War Minister Yaalon went to the Golan Heights and he was inspecting over there and he said, no, ISIL doesn't pose a threat. It doesn't pose danger. Also, Al-Nusra doesn't pose a danger or a threat. Okay. Only Israel now considers that ISIL and Al-Nusra don't pose a threat or danger. But all countries of the region, from the outside at least, they consider ISIL as a threat and a danger to the security of the region and the world. And it's the right of Israel to consider that ISIL doesn't pose danger, because everything ISIL has done up until now, everything ISIL does, serves 100% the interest of Israel, whether ISIL realizes it or not. So what is happening? There are new fronts being opened. There are new forms of brutality and criminality. They've brought it from Hollywood. I don't know where they brought it from, these forms. And the way in which the Jordanian pilot who was imprisoned, taken hostage, Maad al-Kasasbi, is something shocking. And the way in which the Egyptian oppressed people were slaughtered, this was witnessed on television. This is also something shameful and scary. The slaughtering of hostages in such a manner, and then the opening of new fronts and setting new goals. ISIL has nothing in Palestine. It doesn't want to do anything in Palestine or Al-Quds. ISIL's real goal is in Mecca and Al-Madinah. Let the colleagues in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, let them stop and think very hard. The goal is Mecca and Medina. I saw this on the news today. I'm not sure if it was today or if they were talking about a earlier report. But what I heard on the news is that Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the caliphate, has appointed an emir for Mecca and an emir for Medina. The goal is Mecca, Medina, not Al-Quds, Bayt al-Maqdis. Why? Because the caliphate cannot be established without the two holy sites. This is the battle which we are headed to. Now, those who slaughtered the Egyptian labor workers, what did they say? They said their goal is Rome. You're going very far. Mecca and Medina may be a bit close. Their distance might be a bit close. When they say we want to go to Mecca and Medina and then we go from Jordan to Palestine. But you're going to Rome. Rome. What are the wars and the fronts? For whose interests are they fighting? And here, for the first time, I will say boldly, look for the Israeli Mossad, look for the CIA, look for the British intelligence. Before, we didn't want to speak in such a manner, conspiracy theories, but now I will say, look for them. Everything which serves Israel and Israel's hegemony on the region, everything which serves America's strength and hegemony of the region is being done by ISIL and the Takfiri movement. Even provoking Europe. Imagine Italy just a few days ago, the Italian defense minister said that we are ready to lead an international coalition to confront terrorism in Libya. Here, we opened between two brackets. Lebanon, why do you want to launch an international attack to fight terrorism in Libya? The Italian defense minister, I hope I'm not mistaken, she says, because listen very well, she says, and I hope that March 14 will listen very well, she says, because terrorism has come just 350 kilometers away from Italian borders, is just 350 kilometers away from Italian borders. And Italy, the modern country, the EU, are thinking how they can launch a military operation in Libya because terrorism is now only 350 kilometers away. But we, where is our terrorism? It's in Qusair, it's in Qalamun, it's in the outskirts, it's in the car bombs, in the mountaintops. And then you speak to me about right and wrong, what should be done. That's the world. Anyway, in light of this reality, there's no exaggeration, no, there is reality, there is a true danger. We were in Syria, then it became Syria and Iraq, now Libya, then it will be then Sinai. And they also say that Ansar Bayt al-Maqdis have pledged allegiance to ISIL. There are other areas. Today in Tunisia, there is also a state of alert. In Yemen, Al-Qaeda and some of Al-Qaeda, which pledged allegiance to ISIL and its caliphate, are coming forward and occupying military camps in southern provinces in Yemen. There is a real threat and there is slaughtering, there are killing. These are not movies. These people are making movies of reality. I'm sure they've come from Hollywood with their brutality. This is the culture of Hollywood. What's the culture of Hollywood? Except for killing. Is it from the Christian, so Muslims, from Ahlul Bayt? No, of course not. It's clear where this was created. This is what we witnessed today on television. Now, in light of this danger which threatens everyone, we call on the peoples and the governments of the region to work together in order to confront this terrorist, takfiri, dangerous, large threat. And we once again say that we are all capable of defeating this threat and defeating those who stand behind this threat, whether it be the Israeli Mossad or the Americans or the British. Brothers and sisters, the strategies which are being pursued up until now by the international coalition, the international community, have shortcomings. That's the best we can say. If we want to speak about the worst case scenario, we can say they're not serious. So the Ummah, the people of the region, the political parties, the resistance factions, the armies, they are all called upon, they are all concerned with this threat, which is bigger than all other threats except for the Israeli threat. So